2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Well, if you get a minute and you haven't seen Moraine Lake, make sure you just Google it. Take a look at what we're talking about today as Mark Wade continues a road trip on the road here. Road tripping with Bob and Mark is always a great way to kind of leave the farm without even having to leave the house. There's plenty to talk about today. You're sitting in Calgary today. Let me just talk about Lake Louise for a second, because we've skied there a couple of times over the last few years and had the opportunity to stay, and you may have driven past this and not even known what it was, but there is an old railroad hotel that's right on that main road as you make your way to Jasper.
Wow.
And we stayed there for a couple of nights and just had a fantastic time in a real old area where you just, you know, can feel the history of it.
Well, I think Banff has got that old town sections, and it's got a lot of new town sections. It reminded us a lot of what the kind of the vibe and the feel you'd have at a place like Park City or something like that. A lot of restaurants, a lot of fun activities, and then some of these old, you know, historic things like you're describing.
Yeah. Tell me about Lake Minnewaka. I'm not sure I've been there.
Well, just across the highway, just a little north of Banff, literally just a few miles away, Lake Minnewaka is just you drive back in there, and it's a big lake that sits up against another set of mountains, its own little amphitheater, if you will, but it's a big lake, and they rent various boats. We rented a kayak, or I should say a canoe, and went out. There's a river that comes into the lake, and so you can actually canoe up towards the mouth of the river, and you know, the hope is that maybe you see a bear or some elk, or they even have bighorn sheep in the area, and so we didn't see any of that wildlife, but from time to time they spot those kind of animals, and it was just one of those experiences. It was like being at Lake Louise, kind of breathtaking, and you don't want to leave.
Well, it's a spot I need to go visit. I was just looking it up. It says it's the second longest lake in the mountain peaks, or mountain parks, rather, of the Canadian Rockies. So you're right. It looks like a beautiful spot. Are the gondolas you sent me a note about, are those the ones at the ski resorts?
They are. You know, there's one at Lake Louise, one in Banff, and each one will take you up the mountain. Of course, when you're skiing, you can ride the gondolas up, and I think they're four-seater gondolas, and they're enclosed, of course, so it's going to keep you warm if it's a cold day. But yes, you can do those in the summertime as well and get up to those higher elevations and take walks on the upper trails that you can get to from up there, or just get the view from the gondola. It's pretty spectacular.
One of the regrets I had when we made our trips was that we flew in and drove out of Calgary. It was really just a spot to get on the ground where we could get a rental car and head over to do our skiing or our summer exploration, and didn't spend much time there, but it sounds like you're enjoying Calgary itself.
No, maybe it's because we're here in the fall and the leaves are actually already changing in Calgary, where they're not changing in other parts of the mountains we were in. But the leaves are changing, and there's the big river, the Bow River that comes through here. Excuse me. And one of the funny things that we had, the skyline down in downtown Calgary is quite impressive. And so you've got all these tall skyscrapers and the Bow River coming through the town. And we, as we crossed what they call the Peace Bridge, which is this beautiful designer bridge that you can cross just into Calgary from one of the parks there, there was a guy down fly fishing on the, and Navis would love to hear this story, because he's out there fly fishing on the Bow River right up against these skyscrapers, and he's got his big pipe in his mouth, one of those Sherlock Holmes pipes coming down. And he looked like he was just in heaven. And it was just the setting for a guy fly fishing right in the middle of downtown Calgary. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, and to have that right in the middle of the town. The Winter Olympics still have some remnants there, don't they?
you know, it's like the remnants of what we have there in Salt Lake City with the Winter Olympics. There's the ski jump areas, and they have zip lines, and they have some of these different events and activities, mountain biking and other things that you can do that are similar to what you'd find up around our area. And all of that, of course, they're proud of being able to host the Winter Olympics back in the 90s.
Are you going to come, when you come back, and I think there's a border crossing just below Cardston, are you coming straight down back to the U.S.?
Straight down towards Glacier National Park, yes.
Yeah. We took a motorcycle ride one summer. That was one of our visits up there, and went into Waterton Park for a night. I did some segments for the outdoor show, and then we took the drive up to Banff and then came back down through Cardston and some of those areas, made two river crossings with our motorcycles, which was fun because we jumped on ferries with a motorcycle, which doesn't happen very much. But those roads are listed, if you're a motorcycle rider, as some of the best in North America, just winding, twisting roads that follow these great rivers for miles and miles and miles, and they are canopy covered with trees. It really is one of the great riding memories I'll take with me forever.
Well, I'm pulling a trailer. Would you recommend I take the trailer on those roads?
Oh, yeah. No, they're not scary that way at all.
All right. Yep. I'm gonna get more details from you, and we're going to do that. There's one more thing I want to tell you about, and that is, have you ever heard of a Donair? Did you have a Donair when you were in Calgary?
Not sure I did.
Well, this is...
Is that like a donut?
Well, you'd think that, but it's apparently a name they've given to... You've heard of shawarma?
Right.
Have you? Yeah, so shawarma is maybe similar in regards, but a Donair is a wrap. In this case, it's got all kinds. You can get lamb, chicken, or beef, and it is maybe Lebanese style, but they put on pickled cabbage, and you pick all the ingredients you want to put in that wrap and different sauces that you want to put in there, and it just kind of gets all over it as you eat it. And I'm telling you, it's maybe one of the best things I've ever eaten in my life. So come to Canada and ask about Donairs and find a good place, a well-rated place, and you'll be pleased.
Speaking of food, you've probably had your share of poutine while you're up there, haven't you?
Well, we weren't sure about that. You know, that's fries covered with gravy that we weren't sure if that was appealing. Have you had it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It comes in a little, you know, some different versions of it, but usually has gravy, and there's cheese curds in there if you want it. And, you know, they'll throw onions and all kinds of things in there. But when you think of fries, don't think about eating these with your hands. You need a fork or a spoon to get through it.
All right. Well, we've still got another day or two, so we'll get out and try some poutine.
Yeah. All right. So what are the next few days look like for you guys?
Headed to Glacier, and then we're working our way down towards Yellowstone and Jackson Hole, and then working our way back to Wasatch Front, and we're going to take our time still.
Yeah. All right. And so you're going to be back down in southern Utah when? Middle of next week?
We've got another 2 weeks probably before we get there.
All right, so you are going to take your time. Well, I've really enjoyed not only having you on the show to talk about it, but have loved seeing the pictures, and those pictures of you and your lovely wife there at Moraine Lake just brought back a ton of memories for me.
I'll send you another picture in just a minute, and I'll remind everyone listening to go to roadtrippingwithbobandmark.com, and they'll see more pictures and more details about this.
Road Trippin' with Bob and Mark.com. Make sure you check it out. And thanks again to Mark Wade for joining me. Next week, I think, I'm trying to keep track of his itinerary, but I think Bob might also be back with us. Mark, have a good and safe trip.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Stay right there. We'll get your camp spot of the week coming up here. Starting to wind down the season because this half hour of the program soon is going to be taken up, that is, with information from our ski resorts as we ramp up back to winter.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
let's do a little camping here. The season's not over yet. Last week, in both of your absence, Bob Grove stuck around and we talked about, what did I call it? Beach camping down there at Lake Powell. Yeah. Heading south is a good idea, but you wanted to go to Gunlock State Park today, right?
Yeah, and I have camped there long time ago. Back when we were doing cousins campouts every year, I drove up from the L.A. area and we all met at Gunlock because it was a pretty inner, you know, central point for us. I learned some lessons then. There's not a lot of campsites there.
Yeah.
And so we camped below the reservoir in a nice off of a road. There was enough room for all of us. And that is the way the camping is there. There's only like six campsites.
Well, before you get too far into this, I'll ask both of you, because Navi's still with us here to wrap up the program. Either of you know how it got its name by chance?
I don't.
I think it's the mountain. There's a notch, and it looks like a gunlock. Am I right?
No.
That's a good story, though.
Actually, the name Gunlock is the same as the farming community that's about a mile to the north. And a guy by the name of William Haynes Hamblin, who was a Mormon pioneer born in Ohio, settled in the area of the lake in about 1857. Story goes, Mr. Historian, that he was a good hunter and a sharpshooter and was skillful in repairing gunlocks.
Wow.
So
Well, I'm just jealous that Russ gets theme music for this camping, and I don't anymore.
Well, it's just the way it is, Mike.
I know.
I'm working on getting copies of our Fish Bites music so I can roll it out of here. That's the problem. So people would come from miles around to get their gunlocks worked on, and that's how this whole thing started. Anyway.
I love that story.
So let's kind of start with how to get there from here.
Yeah.
From the north, go down I-15, get off there in St. George. You can go all the way to the last, I don't want to call it the last exit, but anyway, Highway 18, and get your groceries and everything there in St. George and head out through Santa Clara, which would be Highway 8, State Highway 8, and stay on 8, go through Shivitz. I always want to say that on
there. Got to say that carefully.
I guess a W is silent on that. Huh?
Yeah.
And stay on that, and that'll take you right to Gunlock State Park. It's a beautiful area. That is the route for the one of the bike races up there, because we were camping there as the bikes were coming through. It was pretty cool.
It is a pretty spot. Now, they're saying the campgrounds, and you said there are a few, but they don't come with any hookups.
No, just potties, and that's about it.
There is a day-use parking area if you want to go down for that. I did notice, too, one of the attractions, I do remember this, one of the attractions at Gunlock was always the falls there, and there was a point during the pandemic that they were being so overrun with people just trying to get out away from civilization that there was a traffic jam around the falls, and they actually had to gate it off so people would stop showing up.
I've been there one time when the water was running through there pretty good, but it is an excellent place to just sit and relax. I don't know what the fishing's like in the lake. The lake is only at 50% today, so maybe that's a good thing for fishing. What do you think, Mike?
Well, like I say, it's a warm water fishery, so, you know, people go there to fish, but mostly they just go there to cool off.
Yeah. Boating there, of course, hiking, biking, a lot of stuff to do, and now let me tell you what's top secret.
All right.
The stream that comes out of there has gold in it.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's
a gold-rich area, those mountains surrounding that. There's some active mines up there.
Oh, I thought you were talking about golden trout.
No. Gold.
I got you.
Actual gold.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Take a sluice box if you have one. Do a little recreational panning there. You'll come up with, you will always come up with something in your pan. It won't be very big. It'll be just a little bit of dust, you know, just some color.
It'll be Shivitz.
Yeah. but it's fun. You know, the little kids love gold panning. It's a blast.
By the way, when those falls are flowing, look at that. It really is beautiful.
Yeah. It's spectacular.
It takes, you know, these different arteries and paths through the Red Rocks. Yeah. So if you get down there, you know, in the springtime, it's not going to be flowing now, but if you get down there in the springtime, it really is something beautiful. And if you want more information, just go to stateparks.utah.gov, and you'll be able to search search out Gunlock State Park. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for the show this week. Russell, tell them how to get a sat phone if they need one.
Oh, call us 801-450-8317 or just go on our website, reserve one there. Right now, we've got plenty of phones on the shelf. If you're going to Baja for the 1,000, you better reserve it now.
And that's... Navi, you've got classes or a room in your classes because some people actually bear one.
Wildtrouts.com, email wildtrouts@AOL.com. Just chat with me. We'll get you in.
Sorry I cut you short, Russ. There is a website.
SkyCallSatellite.com.
And you can call?
801-450-8317.
Don't look at me like that.
I didn't know where you cut me short.
That's all right. That's going to do it, guys. Have a great week. Thanks, as always, for getting together. I miss you during the week, both of you.
Thanks, Tim.
Good to be here.
The Greenhouse is coming up next. Don't go away.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.